podcast with everything paranormal. This is the 222 Paranormal Podcast with your host, me and Jen.
Welcome to the 222nd show, everybody, of the 222 Paranormal Podcast. 222 shows.
Alexa, play 222 podcast.
It's been a rough ride, but a fun ride.
Yeah, it's always fun.
Oh my goodness, Joseph, how did we make it to 222 shows without murdering each other? Murder!
Nah, we never fight, so never. Shut the hell up.
My brother, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, my brother. No, it's been awesome. We've probably had, what, about 100 conventions under our belt, 222 shows, 4 years, 5 seasons, and we're still going strong.
Yep. And we still need topics. So if you guys know a topic,
yes, definitely.
Let us know a topic that you want us to do.
Yeah, if you guys want to hear something, we'll do it for you.
So I was sitting there years ago thinking, what are we going to do for our 222nd show? That's so many years away from now.
Can you believe it? Oh my gosh. We tape every single week. Every week for 4 years straight. Now, that's not commitment. What is?
Yeah. I mean, we miss a couple of weeks because we have like guests from the conventions, but this year we had no conventions.
None.
It
was so strange. But the whole year went so fast.
It always does.
Flew by, and now it's spooky season, right? We're in the October. Burr. Yeah, so crazy times. What is happening, Joe? Because I'm seeing you found some new information about one of our previous shows.
Yeah.
The Loch Ness Monster.
In Loch Ness, they did a sonar scan, and over 500 foot down, there was a huge hit on the sonar, and they can't explain it. It's not on the bottom. It's actually up a little bit. Oh. So they don't know what it is. So it's the possible sonar hit of Nessie.
It says a massive 33-foot creature. Wednesday, September 30th at 4:30 p.m. Loch Ness. Contact. We have contact. This is awesome. I hope they don't fish it out of the lake. Just let it be.
Yeah.
Like, let it be. Let it be. Lift it up. Swimming around.
Show its head.
Enjoy, you know.
Let everybody take pictures of its head.
And tourists then flock there. Yeah, that's so interesting because, you know, why wouldn't they have used sonar by now? Like,
I don't understand why they haven't, unless they did. And like we mentioned on the show about, but it's weird that they probably have been using sonar before, but like we said in our previous show, maybe it senses them getting closer and it just swims to the other side of the lake.
And, you know, like, we were saying on the show, go back and listen to it because it was a really good show. The water is so dark. Yeah. You can't see through it. It's from the peat. It rains down the mountain. It makes the water dark. So it's, you know, you wouldn't be able to see anything like past like a couple of feet into the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it's living in there, it's used to that and it can
leave it be.
Yeah.
Let Nessie alone. Leave Bigfoot alone. Leave Chupacabra alone. Oh, by the way, we have exciting news.
Yeah.
So Ken Gerhart from the Travel Channel, cryptozoologist, he was our...
And friend of the show.
And friend of the show. Was speaking at our Bigfoot conference that we had, the Toledo Bigfoot and Paranormal Conference, a year ago. And he is got a gig at the San Antonio Zoo where he is... They have a chupacabra display, and he is speaking on chupacabra a couple of times a week. So go to San Antonio Zoo and check him out and wear your mask.
And tell him that you heard him on our show.
Yes, for sure. Tell him you heard him on our podcast. 222 on the 222nd show. I'm so excited about that. That's just like really cool.
I didn't think about it, but we could have got him on for this show. Because it's also coming out on the anniversary of our Bigfoot show.
Yes. But you know what? We'll have him on again because he's a friend of the show and he's awesome. Okay, so since this is the 222nd show, which I probably mentioned, I want to tell you a little bit about a 222. Okay, three reasons why you were seeing 222. And it says, did you just check in and see the time at 222, or do you remember seeing 222 in your dream? Rest assured, you were dearly guided and here to learn about the meaning of 222. If you're curious about 222 and the meaning, why it keeps appearing, here's what they're saying. Okay. So, first meaning of 222 is to create new beginnings and expand the universe. So if you're seeing it's a divine sign letting you know that a new cycle is about to start in your life, the new cycle of experiences is about growth and expansion. Pay attention to your present thoughts and feelings when you keep seeing 222. Be aware of triggered emotions from your thinking habits and understand that the positive or negative energy that you put into what you consistently think about will create your new reality. So basically, what you think about is what you're going to experience. So like try to be positive, try to be abundant. Don't worry about junk. Think about the good stuff, right?
I've always said that, and that's a real thing, is whatever you put in your mind will answer that question. Mm-hmm. If you put in your mind, like I mentioned before, you go into a room and you're looking for something. Let's say you're looking for a pen or something. You say, I can't find this pen. Your brain is going to say, yeah, you can't find it. And it could be right in front of you and you can't see it. Mm-hmm. Someone could come in the room and you say, I can't find the pen. They're like, it's right there in front of you. Mm-hmm. That's because you're telling your brain you can't.
Right. It says, simply put, your thoughts become words, your words become actions, and your actions create your own reality. So you hold the power for creation. And then the second meaning of 222 is activate the spirit of cooperation in your inner being and your relationships. So it says, you know, the infinite creator, whatever you want to choose to call him up there, is inviting you to pay closer attention to what's going on in the physical world around you, relating to your relationship with your divine inner being, your relationship with yourself, or your relationship with others. So in the whole scheme of things, it's basically saying your core purpose that establishes your purposes for living is, you know, when you see this 222, it's basically saying you're making connections in this world, and it all starts with the connection of your inner being or the divine source within you. The key is to cooperating with your real self, is go with the flow and trust the whole process. Now, I've heard that a lot. Trust the process. And then the third meaning is to harmonize your mind and body. So when you see 222, the meaning is also about balance and harmonizing your all over well-being, your spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical. You know, you want to meditate, practice energy healing, study, sit in stillness, take the time for you, like opening up your connection to whatever spiritual practice you practice, and obtain some mental harmony and bring clarity into your life's existence. So basically it's just saying to reach for harmony in your body is to have consistent thoughts that bring you joy and satisfaction. Positive thinking means a positive balance in your life, and your inner thoughts will always reflect your outer world.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And what should you do if you keep saying 222? Well, you know, with this
listen
connection
to our show.
Yes, exactly. And tell everybody to listen. It says here, you bring your light to earth and transform your physical world by focusing your energy in an area that needs your gifts or talents. You were born with gifts, and trust your own strengths. Start to reveal more of your abilities once hidden from view. Whether you bring your gifts or values into your work or school, or invest or buy from companies with integrity, support leaders who embody physical, ethical values. It's just basically being, you know, true to your own happiness and fulfillment, and connect others and feed their well-being for people around you. Basically, when you see 22, it's just an affirmation to know that you're on the right path. Mm-hmm. Keep doing what you're doing and do good things for yourself.
And that's one of the reasons why we named the show 222. The other one was obviously because it's Jen's birthday.
Happy birthday
February
22nd.
Which also, the thing is, when we first started the podcast, me and Jen would see Tutu everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I mean everywhere. There's been times where, for example, we were in Southern Illinois at a concert with the band, and this show was in a huge farm field far away from where our cabin was.
Way far away.
Yeah. So we did two shows, Friday night and Saturday night.
Yep.
And we had to drive there. So driving there, there was a crane in the middle of the road and like a stoplight because it turned it into a one-lane road. And the number on the crane was 222 in giant letters.
Giant, like right in front of us. Yeah. We're like, all of a sudden, we're like, oh.
So stuff like that, or driving down the road and a semi trailer number is 222 or license plates are 222 or go to a hotel. Can't tell you how many times we've been to a hotel and they give us a room key and okay, you're in room 222.
I know. It's crazy. It's on a bizarre receipt. It's like, I won't see it for a long time and then all of a sudden I'll start seeing it. And like, you got to pay attention to that, right? Like it's, you're getting a sign for something. I'll see it like three license plates in one day, you know, like, okay, that's more than a coincidence, right? But yeah, like it's been crazy. I can't tell you how many times I've seen it in very, very weird places. And you know, maybe you have another special number that means something to you. You know, it could be 1026, it could be 111 or 333 or 444. You know, every numerical numbers in succession, I guess I wanted to say, I couldn't think of the word, has a different meaning. And whatever it is to you, like, if you have a special number and you start seeing it, take it as a sign.
Yeah.
You know, you can always go on and Google, you know, the different meanings of the numbers, which is interesting because I posted a picture of some rainbows the other day and there was a double rainbow. So two rainbows over my house.
Yeah.
And I was like, asked my dad for a sign of a rainbow. That's our sign. And I don't know how it came about, but I was listening to a YouTube video about 222, and it said that the 222nd verse in the Bible is about rainbows.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's so bizarre that there's so many times where we see the number 222 and, you know, wearing shirts with 222 on them and stuff. I can't tell you how many times people come up to me and say, I just saw that number, or that's my number, or something like that. You know,
that's amazing because we've been in like little podunk towns in the middle of nowhere, Ohio, like in the smallest little pizza parlor. And there's like four people in this town. And then this lady comes up to me and she's like, I noticed your 222 on your shirt. I got to tell you, you know, she had the whole thing about seeing 222 and her address at her beauty salon was 222. And, you know, it was just, it's just funny because so many people like recognize that number.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, I hope it brings luck to everybody, right? Yeah. Like, I hope it gives some meaning and some inspiration to many people, anybody who's listening to this. So I've got a couple of things I want to tell you. And then we're going to have some fun today, Joe.
Yeah.
We are going to have fun with our listeners. You guys are in for a real treat since it is Halloween season. But I had something really weird happen today. So I was at home and I was going from the kitchen, from the dining room down to the basement. So like I had my laptop in my hand and I'm walking down the basement steps and I hear this metal thing clang and I'm like, what the heck was that? So I thought, well, maybe it was like a screw or something out of the bottom of the laptop, because I wasn't carrying anything other than the laptop, the mouse pad, and the mouse, which was on top of the laptop. And it was so weird. I was like, what in the world? It was a pair of tweezers that had been on my kitchen counter.
Oh, really?
Because I was gold mining. And they fell down the steps. Like, I was, like, almost to the bottom of the steps, and they fell out. Like, I wasn't anywhere near the kitchen counter with my laptop that I would have, like, picked them up or accidentally. it's not like it would get caught on any of my clothes or anything because I'm like wearing like something kind of stretchy and form-fitting today. But it was the weirdest thing. I don't know where it came from.
Oh, that's bizarre.
It is so bizarre. Because I was using them earlier in the day and they were on the kitchen counter with my gold. That was it. I don't know. I can't explain it. I don't know where it came from. And nobody else in the house.
Yeah.
So why am I getting a pair of tweezers thrown at me? Somebody trying to get my attention?
I don't know. Maybe.
Very possible.
Anything else happen in the house lately?
No, not really. I haven't really been there too much just because, you know, working a lot, staying here at mom's. And Friday night through Saturday, I was home Friday night, but nothing. I was just watching ghost shows and then I fell asleep on the couch and, you know, that kind of thing. But no, nothing.
All right.
Maybe. Maybe next week. I don't know. We'll see. Comes and goes.
Let's have some fun.
All right. It's time for fun. Everybody prepare yourself for some fun. Okay. This is really, I took this quiz. I got a 52%. I hope you guys do so much better. This is.
I'll see what I get, huh?
Yeah. Okay, Joe, keep score. So how much do you know about the paranormal?
Nothing. Did I win? Oh.
So, yeah. So if you are a paranormal investigator, you want to prove how much you know, here, we're going to take a quiz here. So bear with us. Okay, Joe, what does the word paranormal mean? So you get four choices.
Okay.
Okay. Of or relating to the claimed occurrence of an event, perception without scientific explanation, kinesis, psychokinesis.
Psychokinetics.
Yeah. Extrasensory perception or other purportedly supernatural phenomenon. Or does it mean beyond normal explanation? Or does it mean para means beyond and normal means conforming to the standard type, usual, not normal, irregular? So is it one of these three or all of the above?
Well, it could be all of the above, but I think it's number four.
It is all of the above.
Boo-hoo. ESP could be, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, so I got that one wrong.
Okay, so broken down, para is the prefix that means beyond, past, by, and normal is the meaning natural standard. Therefore, paranormal means something beyond what we view as natural. All right. This is a good one. This one, I didn't get this one right. When was the first known use of the word paranormal? Oh. Here's your four choices.
Okay.
1920s, the 2000s, the 1600s, or the 1400s. So it's either 1600, 1400, 2000s, or 1920.
I'd say 1400.
All right. 1920.
I'm doing great.
The term, however, may have been used earlier by the members of the Society of Psychical Research established in London in 1882. So, okay.
Those Brits.
I know. They're so crazy.
Yeah.
You're all crazy. Governors. What are the most notable paranormal beliefs? Ghosts, UFOs, extraterrestrial lives, or all of the above?
Well, UFOs and extraterrestrial life pretty much are the same thing. So I'm going to say all of the above.
You are correct.
I'm correct.
Ding, 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 ding.
What should I put? I put two X's down for the bad ones, so I'll put an O down for the good ones.
Okay.
All right.
All of the above, including physical abilities, cryptids, demons, and so much more.
Demons!
Right. Demons! In the parking lot. Okay. What is a cryptid?
Oh, that's easy.
Okay. Here's your choices. A mummy that returns to life, an ancient vampire, an animal that has not yet been discovered, or documented by scientists, or an ancient wolf from Eastern Europe.
It's number three.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, you are correct.
That one's easy.
Cryptozoology is a pseudoscience that studies cryptid animals and that has been derived from stories with insufficient evidence.
And who's our cryptozoologist friend?
Ken Gerhart.
Who has a display now in the San Antonio Museum or Zoo.
Yeah.
Didn't he used to work there?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, but he wears a hat.
He's one of the Hatters.
He's a hat. He's so cute. Okay. That's another here, though. One over there. What is an antidotal approach to paranormal investigations? So you get four choices.
All right.
What is an antidotal approach to paranormal investigations? Okay. Your first choice is paranormal investigations based on a collection of stories. Antidotes are created to fend up demon spirits and other cryptids during investigations. Evidence collected regarding the paranormal use of the scientific model or none of the above. So what is the
I'd say number three.
Antidotal approach to paranormal investigations. Okay, let's see. Wrong! It says paranormal investigations based on a collection of stories. Due to the lack of scientific evidence, many paranormal investigations are based on collecting stories of encounters.
Yeah, but then didn't they say something about hunting or looking for them or something?
I don't know.
What was number three?
Oh, number three was evidence collected regarding paranormal using the scientific model.
Okay.
It's not science.
It's considered pseudoscience.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ready for this one?
Yep, number six.
Who was Charles Fort? Okay, here's your choices. Charles Fort, one of the best-known paranormal antidotal collectors, the president of the Paranormal Investigation Group of the World, a man who wrote and published a collection of stories about how cats are reincarnated humans, one of the most famous paranormal investigators in 2016.
In 2016?
Yep.
No, it'd have to be number one.
Okay, let's see.
Because I don't remember him.
You are correct.
I was going to say, I don't remember him.
Okay, so correct. He published these stories in five books. The Book of the Damned in 1919, New Lands in 1923, Lo, with a question or exclamation point, 1931, and Wild Talents, 1932.
I think it would be very interesting to go back and read books like that. Mm-hmm. And see how they thought of spirits and ghosts, because it's so different than what we think of them now.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So I got that one wrong too, huh?
Charles Fort, look him up.
That one's wrong. I'm doing really good.
All right, what is parapsychology?
Oh, that one's easy.
Okay, parapsychology is a form of psychology where paranormal psychologists work with spirits to help them cross to the other side. The study of mental phenomena of unknowing beings, such as spirits and cryptids. Is it the study of mental phenomenon that excludes from an inexplicable or orthodox scientific psychology, such as a high hypnosis, telepathy, etc.? Or you have no idea?
I'd say number three.
Okay. You are correct.
I'm always correct, except for all the other answers.
Yeah. Telepathy, clairvoyance, recognizance and psychokinesis are examples of what's studied in parapsychology. I'm terrible at reading these questions, by the way, everybody. Just bear with us. It's so much fun.
Do you remember the metaphysician that we interviewed at, I believe it was at Michigan Paracon?
No, I thought it was St. Joseph's.
St. Joseph's?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So many places.
But that was so interesting because she took her medical background and her metaphysical background and put the two together. Now she's a metaphysician where she actually is a physician but uses alternative medicines and all. That's so awesome.
Okay. Ready for this one.
All right.
What famous prime minister met with the ghost of Abraham Lincoln? Was it Neville Chamberlain, Tony Blair, Margaret Thatcher, or Winston Churchill?
I'd say Churchill.
Listener? Okay. You are all correct. Sometime after World War II, Winston Churchill stayed in the White House. During a bath, which he was smoking a cigar and drinking some scotch, Mr. Churchill encountered the ghost of Lincoln. Considering he was stark naked, Churchill reacted to the apparition of the president by saying, "Good evening, Mr. President. You seem to have me at a disadvantage." According to the story, Lincoln smiled and faded away. So cool.
Yeah, now that is really neat. There's been so many times where people say that they see him in Gettysburg, but for him to visit him in his bath, it's kind of odd.
In the White House. He was staying at the White House.
Oh, okay. I'm sure you just read that. And
you know, we need to do the ghosts of the White House.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll get a hold of
new show topic.
Jimmy Carter and have him come on.
Yeah, we could ask the president. He's 90-something years old. Get Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
Kenny Rogers. Okay, what is the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry? Is it a committee of physicists and skeptics who investigate claims of the paranormal? A committee in Alabama of local ghost hunters? A committee founded by Winston Churchill after his numerous experience with spirits? Or is it a CFI? Or is it the CFI is a transnational American nonprofit organization that investigates controversial and extraordinary claims? The Committee for Skeptical Inquiry.
Yeah, it's number four.
Okay.
Yeah.
You are correct. So in 19...
That was a guess. That was a total guess.
Okay, in 1975, Paul Kurtz, a secular humanist philosopher and that was a mouthful and progressor, invited as many skeptical researchers he could to find a conference that would later lead to the committee. After it has disbanded, many of the members came together to form the CPI, which included Carl Sagan, Isaac Asimov, B.F. Skinner, and Philip J. Klass, and they joined Kirk's, Randy Gardner, and Hyman. I don't know who those people are.
Yeah, I don't recognize those names.
But anyways, that was one I didn't get.
Heisner.
I didn't get.
Right. Wasn't he one of the nuclear physicists that worked on the A-bomb?
Don't know.
Okay.
Maybe. Okay. What World War II famous scientist believed in telepathy? Was it Marie Curie, Alan Turing, Sigmund Freud, or Albert Einstein?
Ooh.
What famous World War II scientist believed in telepathy? Freud, Einstein, Turing, or Curie?
I think Freud did. Because I was going to say he's more of a thinker.
Yeah, so Alan Turing, the famous computer scientist, believed in telepathy.
I didn't even know his name.
I've never heard of him.
I've never heard of him
either. Got that one wrong.
And he was a World War II computer scientist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't know they had computers back then.
All right. Everybody listening better get this one right or you're going to stand in the corner. What is an EVP? Is it extra polarizing visions phenomena?
Yes.
Electrical vapor phenomena? Evaporated visible poltergeist?
Hey, that's
or electronic voice phenomena?
No, no, no.
Number four.
Electronic voice phenomena.
Thomas Edison suggested the possibilities of creating a machine that would allow people to communicate with the dead.
Which we have now. I mean, that's a lot of our equipment.
Yeah, that's all of our equipment. Okay. What was the Ghostbuster ruling?
Oh, no.
That every city with more than 5,000 people must have a local Ghostbuster team. That every Ghostbuster movie and any other paranormal movie created must have a warning on it. Was it before the movie came out, a group of people from Indiana calling themselves the Ghostbusters sued the writers and producers of the movie by the same name for ripping off their real story? Or was the Ghostbuster ruling in 1990, a man named Jeffrey Stambowski bought a home before finding out that the house was haunted? He took the seller, Helen Ackley, to court, filing a action request, rescission of the contract of sale for damages for fraudulent misrepresentation by Ackley and Ellis Realty.
All right. So was that the answer or was that a question?
That was the answer.
Oh.
But you have to guess out of those four. What was the Ghostbuster ruling?
I think it was where someone else had the name before.
Let me see. Wrong! Okay, so it was the fourth longest
answer. Oh, the longest one?
Because he was from out of town, Stambrowski had never heard of the stories told by the Ackley family about the existence of numerous poltergeists in the home. The New York Supreme Court dismissed the ruling. He was forced to forfeit the down payment, but was no longer obligated to buy the house. Despite the loss to Stambrowski, the New York Appellate Court ruled that because a routine home inspection would never uncover it, the sellers must disclose that a house is haunted to potential buyers.
I've seen so many real estate things, because I like looking at the real estate pages and looking at houses and stuff, and there's so many of them now that say not haunted or haunted.
Shoot. Well, I want to find one of them haunted houses.
I just saw a castle for sale.
Mm.
And this thing was only, and I say only, $300,000, but this thing was amazing.
I want it.
Oh, it looked just like the medieval castle.
Why don't we buy it and do a reality show about buying a medieval castle or something?
Let's do it.
All right.
I got the money in my pocket, yeah.
I got some pennies I've been saving up.
Change in my pocket going jangling.
Kenny Rogers money.
We're sober, folks, honestly.
Yeah, honestly. Okay, here's a good one.
Okay, number 13.
How many people experience some type of haunting or ghostly phenomenon? Is it 1 out of 10, 2 out of 10, 5 out of 10, or 8 out of 10?
Well, knowing that the people we talked to would be 8 out of 10, but I would think that in the real world, I think it's probably still 8 out of 10.
Okay, let's look. 1 out of 10.
Oh, geez, that was way off.
1 out of 10 people report seeing apparitions, sensing presence, dramatic temperature changes, or offensive odors.
Offensive odors.
Like you go to Walmart and get an offensive odor. Any time of the day or night.
If you're starting to have offensive odors in your home, think.
Yeah, first.
That it's a house first. Don't think it's a ghost first. Check your furnace. Make sure there's not a dead squirrel in your
attic
or in your downspout. No, not downspout. In your chimney so that your furnace is not getting blocked up.
Yeah. I had a dead bird in my chimney once. It was gross. I had to have somebody go up on top of the roof and put the wire cap back on.
But that's a big thing, though. I've had a few people ask me about that, especially this time of year. They're like, I'm starting to get sick in my house, and I think it's ghosts. And the one person I told, I said, see if it's a house first. And, I mean, I've got like 8 calls on this already.
Yeah.
See if it's your house first.
Check the environment.
Yes. Unfortunately, one of them said, I called a paranormal team in. They said I have demons. I'm like,
good grief.
Do some research.
People, they have demons.
Do some research first before you have a team come in.
Like, yeah.
Okay, on to 14.
All right, here we go. In what year was one of the best known ghost photographs taken? 1891, 2010, 1600, or 1935?
What was the photo? I'm thinking 35, because I think it was the photo of the woman sitting on the tombstone.
Oh, yeah, Bachelor Grove Cemetery.
Was that in the 30s?
I think that was the 70s.
Oh.
Well, let's find out.
Let's find out.
Ooh. 1891.
I'm so bad at this.
Sybil Corbett took a picture of the Cobblemere Abbey in Cheshire, England, in an unoccupied room. The photo was of a man sitting in the chair. He later identified as a relative of Lord Cumbere, who had died in an accident 5 days earlier.
Oh. What was the name of that? I want to look it up.
Okay. It's Cobblemere Abbey. COBERMERE Abbey in Cheshire, England.
All right, I'm going to look it up.
All right.
After the show.
What is an aura?
That's number 15?
This is 15.
Write this down.
Okay, here's your choices. Uh-huh. Aurora from Sleeping Beauty, Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights, or is it all living beings have an aura that is generally 3 feet from your body or none of the above?
It's a field around the body, relatively 3 feet apart, that tells you your moods or your electrical patterns in your body that changes from time to time. I mean, some people even can have a brown aura.
You hush.
If you don't know that story.
Don't ever mention it again. I have a poop brown aura.
We were at a conference and a girl said, "You have a brown aura," to Jen. That's a brown aura. Yeah.
Well, it was because I was exhausted.
Yeah.
All right.
So what was it?
It was number one.
Oh, hey, ding, ding, ding.
Ding. People who have undergone trauma in their lives may have an aura that is 50 feet around them for added protection.
Oh.
That's too far. Okay, this is a good one. You guys, I think you will all get this right. And you will get 2 gold stars if you do. All right. What is the difference between a poltergeist and a ghost? Here's your choices.
Oh, okay. I know this one.
Ghost energy is continuous over time, while poltergeist energy is built up over time. Ghosts at the spirits of Ghosts are the spirits of deceased human beings, where poltergeists sometimes can be manifestations of negative energy. Choice 3 is poltergeists like to move things and influence physical objects, while ghosts simply make an appearance. Now, is it all of the above, or is it one of those choices?
I think it's all of the above.
I think you were correct.
I am correct. Okay. They're noisy ghosts.
Yep.
They play the stereo too loud.
The main difference between a ghost and a poltergeist is that a ghost is the spirit of a deceased human being, where poltergeists are considered forms of energy in which a living person controls unknowingly. I don't know if they control it, but they might attract it.
I think that when they mean they control it, their energy that they're putting out is controlling it, not them. Because you can't look at a pan on the stove and go, fly across the room, you know.
Send that donut over there into my mouth. Okay. All right. What is ectoplasm? More viscous, clear outer layer of cytoplasm in amoebic cells, a supernatural viscous substance that is supposed to exclude from the body of a medium during a spiritual trance and form the material for the manifestation of spirits. Or is it the goo that comes out of the walls during a poltergeist haunting, or what portals are made of?
It is a viscous thing that comes out of the medium, usually out of their nose or their mouth, and it's really gross.
You are correct, sir. Ectoplasm is a supernatural viscous substance that is supposed to exclude from the body of a medium during a spiritual trance and form the material for a manifestation of spirits. And I don't know, I'm talking about like Walter G. What's that? Wells? No. Can't remember.
H.G. Wells?
Don't remember.
Okay.
Okay. Cuckoo. When was the first seance conducted? Here's your choices. 1965. 1652, 1857, or none of the above?
None of the above. I think it was during the Egyptian time.
You're correct, sir.
Oh, hey.
Okay.
That was kind of a guess.
Yeah. It says, while the date of the first seance is unknown, the earliest books on communicating with the dead were written by George, the first Baron of Littleton. His book, Communication with the Other Side, was published in England in 1970. The seance became popular exceedingly with the foundation of spiritualism in the 19th century.
Oh, so it wasn't during Egyptian times.
Don't know.
Oh, okay.
It's a mystery, so you may or may not be right.
Oh.
Give yourself a point for that.
Okay,
one.
I will.
Two gold stars. And a donut. Okay, what is automatic writing? Okay, here's your four choices. Automatic writing is a skill developed during elementary school. Automatic writing is said to be produced by a spirit through a human conduit. Automatic writing is said to be produced by extraterrestrial through a human conduit. Or automatic writing is done by a possessed person.
It's actually number two, because you use your spirit guide to guide your hand to actually write out what you want.
You're correct.
I am.
As with many paranormal things, it is became very popular with the spiritualist movement. I've seen people do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not so much as like writing words, but sometimes it's like scribbling or, you know, quick drawing. But
it's sort of like, you know, I don't, well, I'll probably get somebody tell me you're wrong, but to me, it's sort of like the Ouija board, but the spirit, the person goes into a trance and guides the hand, and they just write, and they don't even look down at what they're writing.
They could be writing on themselves.
All the walls.
Like my little nephew, my great nephew, my niece. How old is Colin? He's 15 months, 18 months. Wrote all over the walls.
Oh.
With all kinds of crayons. Good job, kid. What does an orb look like? Is it a fuzzy ball of fur, dust floating in the air, a Cheshire cat, or generally a round ball of light that either can be translucent or transparent?
Okay. So is it a digital camera orb, which is dust? It's dust, folks. It's really dust. Or is it a visible orb like we saw at the Collingwood Art Center floating across the stage?
That's true. And somebody else told me they saw that there. Who did we just talk to?
I don't know.
Recently. Oh, gosh.
But that was interesting. One night I was sitting all by myself in the main theater watching the stage, and these blue and purple lights were just floating across the stage.
Yeah. Happened to me, happened to Joe, happened to many people.
You actually have a picture of one where I took a picture of you taking a picture of the orb, and it was in both of our cameras.
Yeah, it's so cool. Okay, it says orbs are often round and can be transparent or translucent. They hover and fly at will and are believed to be spirits of the deceased. They are often seen in photographs. They are different than balls of dust. Duh.
And
oh my God.
Okay,
like,
so
seriously, if I see one more dust picture, I'm really
the reason barf. Why you get so many orbs using your cell phone or a pocket digital camera is because the flash is right next to the lens. And when that flash goes off, the light is so close to the lens, it bounces back in and you have an orb on your camera or on your picture.
Always zoom into that picture. Now, if you're seeing maybe some faces in there, it might be
that's
something.
Pareidolia.
Okay.
21?
21.
Okay.
How are past life regressions conducted? Is it a seance is conducted first? Is it a priest does the ritual? Or is it the subject is hypnotized into a trance? During the trance, practitioners unvoucher memories of the past lives or incarnations or none of the above.
I think it's number three.
You're correct.
I'm
correct again. All right.
I'm not doing too bad on the last questions.
I know. They're getting easier as we go. All right. What is a shadow person?
No one really knows.
Spirits of pets. Another term for ghost or spirit. A human being living in the shadow of their past life. Or is shadow people are completely black but have the shape of a human being?
It's actually number four, but really no one knows what they are.
You're correct.
No, I'm correct again.
Shadow people are completely black and move very quickly. Their silhouettes are often often of a man, and they can be 2 to 3 dimensional. Some people believe that shadow people are evil entities. Others believe they're spirits. Now, I've heard that one theory is that they were never human.
Yeah. I don't know. We don't know. I mean, are they aliens?
Who knows? I mean, they're blacker than black, so.
So they could be cloaked?
Another thing is they're
always looking and staring and watching.
Well, did you see that video of that guy in, I think, Maryland or something? He bought this house and he heard something upstairs. And it's been on the paranormal, video show. He opens a bedroom door and that shadow is like right there.
Yeah.
That was really freaky. Yeah. That was very interesting. I don't think they ever had human form. I think they're maybe balls of negative energy.
But if they were, I take that back because there are stories of shadow people attacking people.
Yeah, true. Or protecting people.
Protecting people like at Waverly, the shadow figure that protected that little boy.
Yeah. That's so interesting. You guys go back and listen to our Waverly show. It was really fascinating. Okay. Who was one of the first paranormal investigators? Chip Coffey, Ed and Lorraine Warren, Zach Bagans, they spelled his name wrong, or Anthedorius Canaanites?
Anthedorius Canaanite.
You are correct.
The only reason I picked that name is because it's the only one I didn't recognize. I figured all the other ones are new.
Right. 2,000 years ago, Pliny the Younger recorded Athenodorus' tale of a haunting in a home in Athens. I am butchering this completely, but whatever. The house was notorious and was quickly deserted. Out of curiosity, this guy bought the house and decided to investigate and spend the night. His experience in the house was recorded by Pliny the Younger.
24.
Okay, 24. What is an empath? Is it an emotional sponge? A highly sensitive person? Is it somebody who is affected by other people's energy or all of the above?
All of the above.
You are right. There are numerous traits that are associated with being an empath, including being able to feel other people's feelings and not liking to be crowded in places and have strong intuition. And that's me. Okay. What is necromancy? Is it involving magic? Is it summoning a spirit from the dead? Is its purpose generally for divination and telling the future or all of the above?
All of the above.
Joseph Dean, let me see. You're correct.
Oh.
Necromancy uses magic to raise a body from the dead in to discover some hidden knowledge about the past, present, or future. Okay. You should know this one because we did a show on it. Everybody should know this one. What is paranormal about the Bermuda Triangle? 1, cryptids swim in the water there like Megalodon. Dozens of planes and ships have disappeared there. The triangle is seen of various USO, unexplained submerged object sightings, or none of the above.
Actually, 2 out of 3. Because there were submerged UFOs, but they're going to say it's because all the planes and ships that disappear.
That's what they said.
So I'm saying I'm right.
Okay. In one disappearance, the pilot of a squadron of U.S. Navy bombers became disoriented while flying over the triangle. They were never heard from again. Okay. This one is easy. Y'all should better get this right. 2 stars if you do. Which first lady hosted many seances in the White House? Eleanor Roosevelt, Mary Todd Lincoln, Martha Dandridge, or Abigail Smith?
Lincoln.
You're correct.
I am correct.
After Mary and Abe's son had passed away, Mary Todd was never the same. She began to organize spiritualist seances in the White House, which were attended by her husband and other prominent members of society. Okay, here's a good one, because Joe loves animals. Can animals be ghosts? 1, no, there's no such thing. Yes, any living being can become a ghost. Yes, they're called cryptids, or sort of, but there's a better word for it.
Yes.
You are correct. There are many stories of deceased family pets that like to cuddle.
And we did a show on that.
We did.
About ghost cats and...
Mm-hmm. Animal communicator. Okay, what is an ovulus? Is it a glass ball that mediums use? Is it the original magic eight ball? Is it an electronic synthesis speech device or a portal to the other side?
It's a portal to hell. No, it's a electronic device that has words in it. And the spirits can manipulate those words and tell us how they feel.
You're correct. The spirit communication device was created by Bill Chappell, who creates many of the well-known devices for investigating the paranormal. I like
for Zach Bagans.
Oh my God. All right. Oh, this is a good one. I did not get this one right when I took the quiz. What is DOP? Here are your choices.
It's DOP.
He's a PIP. He's a pip.
I'm
not a pimp.
I'm a PIP pimp.
P-I-M-P pimp. Okay. He's a paratorcologist.
I am a par. I have a certificate for
he
that.
He is a para.
I have a certificate.
Torcologist. Okay. Is it a disjointed orb phenomenon? Is it a disruptive orb phenomenon? Is it deceased oligarch phenomenon or disappearing object phenomenon?
I'm going to guess. This is a guess. Uh-huh. The disappearing object.
Aw, Joe, you're right.
It was a total guess.
Okay. Okay, now we're going to have a bonus question. You ready? What movie was based on Ed and Lorraine Warren's experiences? The Haunted in 1991, The Conjuring in 2013, A Haunting in Connecticut in 2009, or all of the above?
I'll have to say all of the above.
You're correct. Joe is correct.
I know that because Andrea Perrin, our good friend of ours, talks about it all the time, and she actually was one of the children mm-hmm. in the house that Ed and Lorraine
came into
for the Conjuring.
Yep, and her dad punched Ed Warren in the face.
Did he? I didn't know about that.
He did. Alrighty, so paranormal trivia, what do you guys think? Did you like it? Did you have fun on our 222nd show? How many did you get right?
All right, you want to count this for me? And I'll let you count. Okay. The zeros are the ones, and if I have my count right, it's going to come out very weird.
Okay, so Joe.
22 right.
22 right.
That's so bizarre.
22 out of 30. So you got an 80%. I guess I made that up.
Oh, okay. I was going to say I got a 99.8%. But no, 22 right. And our theme of our show is the 222 show.
There you go. It's a sign, everybody, that you need to just keep listening to the show because it adds value to your life.
Yes.
Oh, Joe, here's to the next 222 shows. Clink. Thoughts, words, wisdom. Go for it.
Okay. The quiz was fun. I didn't do as good as I thought I would. But I got 22.
I did worse than you.
Did you?
I got 52%.
And we're experts. We are experts. We are experts.
Yes.
Yeah, right. There's no such thing as an expert.
I know.
But me. I'm a certified paratorcologist.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't know what that is, you better ask Joe. Yeah, better ask him to demonstrate.
Yeah.
But anyways, we really appreciate you spending time with us today. We hope
over the last 221 shows, we really appreciate you guys tuning in and
wouldn't be here
putting up
you.
With us. And this show was kind of fun. Hopefully you stayed awake through the whole show.
Yes, definitely share it with all your friends and let them know that you listen to this really cool podcast and there's plenty of episodes. You can pop into any one at any time and you're going to get a new fresh topic. I suggest you go back and just, you know, listen from the beginning and listen to our progression and our...
The Stanton Friedman show is still my favorite.
Still good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the ghost ships of the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
And All of them.
Last
They're
week's
all
show,
our baby.
I think My last baby. Week's show was awesome. That's very interesting.
You know, it's always good. Whether we're talking about a topic or we have a guest on, we just come into your airwaves. All right.
And I'm going to ask you a favor. There's a thing here. I know it's local in Toledo, but it's the city paper is running the best of. And if you could, if you want to, go to the city paper's website, and Toledo City Paper, and they're doing the best of. Click on the best of, go into the media selection, and put in 222 Paranormal Podcast. Now, they're going to ask you for an email address, and that's just to prove that you're actually a person instead of a robot voting, because there are people that do use robot voting to try to win.
Jerks.
Yeah. So, if you want, do us a favor. Go into ToledoCityPaper.com under the best of and put us in the media. 222 Paranormal Podcast. It would mean a lot to us.
It would mean the world.
Yes, I want to win. I want to be the best
Joe
of Toledo.
Joe wants to be a winner.
I want to be a winner. I want to be a winner.
You're a wiener. I mean winner. All right, everybody.
All right. Thanks a lot, everyone.
Take care. Talk to you next week. Have a great week. Look for 222.
Yes. All right. Goodbye.